Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour of the Detroit Review. Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Law Hour is an educational service to public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on iatrogenic disease when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto, and these programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. And Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. The income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. The income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And the income tax requires of us that we sign contracts with foreign and alien gods, called governments, in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. And Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed. And then we're taught to call that income redistribution. The scripture calls it just what it is, covetousness, in violation of Exodus 20, verse 17. Now, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way in our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10. And that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn how to practice a better way of life than income tax and Social Security. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. And best of all, it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Remember, it doesn't cost anything. Tax and status is available on compact disc. That costs something. That's for home education. That's the tax school. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for your free general law CD package. That's easy enough, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing of iatrogenic disease. Now, iatrogenic disease simply means it's doctor-induced. The doctor causes the malady. But why did you go to the doctor in the first place? I mean, who in his right mind would want to go to a doctor or a hospital? I mean, I could see you going to the movies. I could see you going to Six Flags. It makes all the sense in the world to get a motorhome and go traveling, or to get on a cruise ship and go have a good time on the Caribbean. But why would anybody want to go to a hospital? Why would anybody want to go down to Flo's Whorehouse? At least Flo's has got something going for it. The hospital's got nothing. I can't think of a single reason why anybody would go to a hospital. But, you know, people go to hospitals and they go to doctors because they're sick and don't feel good. And it's usually associated with pain, suffering. Well, you know, if you're not feeling good, there's got to be a reason for that. Do you ever stop and think about that? Was there ever a time when you felt good? And then there was a time when you didn't feel so good, and then there was a time when you really felt rotten. Well, when you felt good, you didn't want to go to the doctor, did you? When you were feeling good, you didn't want to go to the hospital. So you go to the doctor because you feel bad, and then you feel bad because you did something. Something came into your life. Could be an automobile accident. I remember I had that happen to me a couple of times. I was driving down the street one day. It was raining a little bit, and my windshield wipers weren't working too good, and I couldn't see very well, and I ran into the back of a Mercer Fraser dump truck at about 35 miles an hour. God, I felt poorly for 2 weeks. Now, you know, normal people don't run around looking for things to run into with their cars. You know, we spend a lot of time buckling our seat belts and looking both ways when we stop at a stop sign to make sure that nobody runs into us. So you're not a dummy. You know full well that if you have a car wreck, it can make you feel real bad for a long time. So you avoid that. But how about cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and 450 other diseases that have symptoms and the good belongs in the doctor's desk reference? Well, all of those diseases, all of those symptoms that you get are the results of, and the conclusion is, it's a violation of law. You can't get sick unless you break a law. I'm going to show you that in this last and concluding program in this series on iatrogenic disease. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you the answer to the riddle. Now, I'm getting to be an old man, and I've got 20/20 vision. I can see good, and I don't have a hearing aid. I'm 67, and then I can still put in a day's work, but I can only work about half as hard as I did when I was 30 or 40. I noticed that as you get older and older, you don't move as fast. And another thing I've noticed here is that your joints don't work as good as they used to. And I think that's just part of the natural aging process. Hell, I might be breaking some laws I don't know about, and maybe that's what my problem is, but I'm just going to share with you 18 health laws that come from the Bible. 18 health laws that your creator, and if you believe in such a thing, designed and put into the equation. He says, now you do this, and you do that, and you do something else. Now, listen, wait a minute. Now, hang on before you hang up on it. You go to the doctor, and this doctor over here says, now you do this, you do that, and you do something else, and you're going to feel real good later. You take this prescription, you take this medicine, you do this and do that, and everything's going to be all right. Now, you listen to his advice, don't you? Okay. And he didn't create you. He, in fact, until you called him on the phone and made an appointment, walked into his office, hell, he never saw you in his life. He didn't know you from Jack Squat. But there's a guy over here that says, well, I'm your creator. I'm the guy that made you, and I made animals and all kinds of neat stuff, and I've got the owner's manual here that tells you how to use it. Now, listen to this and tell me if this is what you're looking for, because, you know, if you're not looking for this, this isn't what you want to buy. Over in Deuteronomy 28, the first few verses here, just bear with me now. If you got a Bible, go get your Bible. Deuteronomy 28, listen to this and see if this is what you want. He said, it'll come to pass if you diligently hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Did you want that? Would you like to be set on high above all the nations of the earth? Number one. Okay, there's benefit number one. Now, notice here that he says, in order for you to get this, you have to obey all of my commandments. Now, when you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you certain commandments, and you go home, you say, my doctor ordered me. My doctor ordered me to do this, that, or something else. Well, this guy comes along and says, well, I'm ordering you. I want you to do this. I'm telling you. All right, so now verse 2, he says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. He says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Notice number 4 here. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. All right. So next time you have a baby, ladies, you don't need to count his fingers and toes. He's going to be all there. You won't have any children. You won't have any babies born that are going to be misfits, or they're going to, you know, have birth defects or something wrong with them. All right. You want that? Okay. Now there's a way to get that. He says, number 5, blessed shall be your basket and store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Eternal will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face, and they'll come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. And the Eternal shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse, and in all that you set your hand to do, which the Eternal your God shall bless you in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. And the Lord will establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, and if you keep his commandments, the commandments of the Eternal your God, and walk in his ways, all the people of the earth will see that you're called by my name, the name of the Eternal, and they'll be afraid of you. And the Eternal will make you plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, and in the land which the Eternal swore unto you to give your to your fathers to give you. The Eternal will open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain in the land in the season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Eternal will make you the head, and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. All right. 3 times in 13 verses, he says, till you practice my commandments, keep my commandments, do my law. Got that? All right. And so if you want those bennies there, you got to practice this law. Now, there's a little more to the story. In this chapter 28, he goes on over here, and he says, moreover, all of these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Eternal to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. This is verse 45. Now here's verse 46. And they shall be upon you a sign and a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you served not the Eternal your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Now, what are some of the things that he says he's going to do to you? Okay. Verse 27. He says, the Eternal will smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. In other words, God says, I will smite you with incurable diseases, like Alzheimer's disease, cancer, and congestive heart failure. Now, I'm not going to spend all of our time here going through this chapter 28, but there's an example. If you do what I tell you, I'm going to give you these benefits. If you give me the finger and you won't listen to me, here's what I'm going to do to you. And one of the things he says I'm going to do to you is that I'm going to strike you down with incurable diseases. Now, there's one more thing I want to remind you of, and then I'm going to take you through these 18 health laws, and I'll show you how to be healthy. Now, I'm pretty healthy, and I'm not complaining. See, I'm not going to the doctors, and I'm not going to the hospitals, and I'm not getting any vaccinations, and I'm not sitting here cringing saying, oh, my God, the bird flu is coming. To hell with the bird flu. I'm not concerned about it. The bird flu isn't going to affect George Gordon. I practice this law. Now listen to this. In Exodus 15:26, he said, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and if you will give ear to his commandments, and if you will keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, because I'm the Eternal that healeth thee. Now, one of the mistakes that I see here is that people go to the doctor because they want the doctor to heal them. They go to the hospital because they're looking for healing. There's no healing in the hospital or from the doctor. Now, the lie that's going around is that Marcus Welby, MD, can cure your diseases at Mercy Medical Center. Now, if you want to buy into the program, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, but it looks like that there's a lot of misery going on out there with people looking for cures, but the medical profession doesn't offer cures, they only offer treatments. And in the process, they're killing, we don't know how many, but it's a quarter of a million anyway, probably half a million, and maybe as many as a million people a year being killed by the doctors. So if you want to go to those doctors and get killed, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Law number one. It's number 13 in the Mosaic Law book. Called blood. Listen to this law. Very simple. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all of your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Got that? Don't eat blood. Now, as it turns out, here in America, we don't eat very much. I mean, you know, when you go down to Steak and Ale and you order a big prime rib, well, you won't get very much blood in that steak or in that prime rib because in this country, we bleed our animals. So you're going to be pretty much in compliance with that statute when you're eating at Steak and Ale. Hell, even when you go to McDonald's, you know those animals have been bled. However, there is a problem that you should be aware of with blood. And that is that in America, we mainline it. We inject it. See, we go down and get blood transfusions. And when we get blood transfusions, we get parasites, worms, protozoa, degenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, and contagious diseases like AIDS, HIV, and a number of other blood-borne diseases like hepatitis. I think you'd be well advised to avoid blood transfusions. Now, there's about 15 statutes that the Bible deals with on blood. I'm not going to sit here and belabor the issue, but I wanted to share it with you. Number one, if you'll practice the blood law, you can avoid a lot of disease, a lot of hepatitis, AIDS, probably a number of other diseases, childbirth. You know, one of the things that women are really excited about is cesarean sections because you can take away all of the childbirth pains. I don't know if you knew this or not, but babies need to be born in the birth canal because it stimulates their organs and gets them started in life. Now, if you've been in the cattle business like I have for many years, you'll notice that there are natural processes that go on. And when the natural processes are adhered to, you have great, big, healthy, robust calves. And then when you don't adhere to those kinds of natural processes and you try to squeeze a few extra dollars of profit out, you end up with what we call bottle calves or bucket calves. And they're not thrifty. They're sick and puny, just like American children. They're sick, they're puny, they're underweight, and they've got diseases and allergies and all kinds of problems. So one of the things that you need to follow here in childbirth, which is number 17, let me flip over to it. I'll give you a citation here, and you can go look it up. Childbirth, number 17. All these laws, 133 of them now, are in alphabetical order. If you practice this childbirth law, which is cited in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8, you can avoid cancer, bacterial infections, and viral infections in both you and the baby. Yes, sir. You can avoid some more of those diseases that you find in the physician's desk reference by avoiding cesarean sections, practicing natural childbirth, and then when you get done with the baby being born, make sure that you nurse it, ladies, because your milk has 91 elements that we know of, 91 elements in it that baby can only get from you. You can't get it from baby formula. They've only got 12. And that's why when babies are raised on a bottle, you end up with the same thing as you do when you raise a calf on a bucket, a little sick, puny, renty kid who's sick all the time. Circumcision, number 3. If you have a male child, you should have him circumcised. That's law number 18, circumcision. And if you do that, you can avoid cancer, bacterial infection, and viral infections in the baby. I did a series here one time on circumcision. I won't belabor the issue here, but if you go back in our archives, look up circumcision. In China, 14% of the cancers in China are in males, and it's called penile cancer. In Jews or Jewish people, the rate of penile cancer is so rare that when it appears, they always put an article in one of the health magazines, you know, like the Journal of the American Medical Association. I think 3 cases of penile cancer were reported in the 20th century in the United States. 3. Among circumcised males. In China, where they don't practice circumcision, the rate is 14%. So it's a health law that's worth following, and if you just keep that little tidbit in mind, you could avoid a lot of misery for your male children in later life, perhaps. Now, not everybody gets cancer of the penis in their lifetimes, and even when they're not circumcised, not everyone comes down with it. But hey, listen, in China, it's 14% of the people that get cancer, so it's pretty significant. And I imagine it's probably about the same around the world. Clean meats, number four. It's law number 20, so let me just flip over here, three more here, clean meat. You can avoid cancer, parasites, and toxic poisoning if you will stop eating unclean meats and just concentrate on eating the clean meats. You'll find the list in Leviticus 11, verses 1 through 47, and Deuteronomy 14, verses 1 through 20. And it'll tell you what to eat and what not to eat. And I had a guy here one time, and he said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. I said, okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, son. Now, that's the guy I told you about that died at age 47. The guy from Texas, the farmer. No, it wasn't 47, 57. He died at age 57. And then he died from a heart attack. Had a heart attack, age 57. Like I mentioned him to you once before. He's the guy that brought me those two or three farm tools that are up behind the shed. Traded for class here back about 1985. And he said he really liked bacon, and I'm sure he did. And I've often said that if God made anything better than a pig to eat, he kept it for himself. Pig just plain tastes real good. I know that. And I broke in on eating pigs with my granddaddy, who taught me how to eat pickled pig's feet when I was 4 years old. And my old granny, if she ever cooked a pot of beans without a ham hock in it, it's because we didn't have no ham hock to put in it. She saved all of the bacon rind and bacon grease, and she baked with it. So I know all about eating pig, boys. Now, my granddad died at age 61, and his brother Al died at age 46, and his brother Ed died at age 42, and his father died at age 48. And I'm the longest living Gordon in five generations, and I'm 67, and I aims to make my 70 at age 70, which is what the contract calls for. So I'm sitting here telling you that this George Gordon ain't dying until he's 70 under the terms of the contract. See, I got a contract, guarantees me 25,550 days if I don't eat pig. Now, there's a couple of other meats that you're not supposed to eat. If it doesn't chew its cud and doesn't have a cloven hoof like a goat and a sheep and a cow, then don't eat it. And if it swims and doesn't have fins and scales, don't eat it. Turtles don't have fins. And pufferfish don't have scales. So you follow those guidelines that you see there in Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, and you don't eat unclean meat. That's another one of those laws that'll guarantee you that you'll make 70 years. Copulation, number five. Let's just get over here to copulation. Contagious disease and bacterial infections. There's another important factor here with this thing called semen. Male semen is the only thing that another body will not reject. Boy, that's potent stuff. I mean, that stuff, you know, when they give you a heart transplant, The guy they transplanted into, you know, his body rejects it, and they got to give him rejection. Hey, listen, with semen, you don't need to do that. No, sir, Bob, you can put that in another person's body, and it won't reject it. And, boy, that's got some real immunological disease potential, like AIDS, you know, and there's some other diseases. So you take a look at Leviticus 15, verses 16 through 18, and it'll tell you about, if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Same thing with his wife. You know, you got to be very careful about how you use semen, because it is an extremely toxic substance. I mean, it's got some real health problems associated with it. Clothing. Let's take a look at clothing, which is number 21. Flip over here to number 21 here. See if I can find it. Hang on here, boys and girls. Clothing. What in the world would clothing have to do with your health? Well, it affects your nervous system, your neuroconnectors, and deals with birth defects. Would you believe it? Would you believe that the clothes you wear could affect your nervous system, your neuroconnectors, and birth defects? Well, listen to this. In Leviticus 19:19, you shall keep my statutes, and you shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind, nor sow your field with mingled seed. Now get this. Here's the last third. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and wool come upon you. You don't want to let clothing of two types of fabric come upon you. Now, that deals with the warp and the woof, and I'm not going to get into the details of these laws, because if we did, we'd be here for quite a few hours. But I just wanted to share with you, that's a health law. Leviticus 19:19 is a health law, and it's one of, let's just look at this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's one of 9 statutes in the Bible that deal with clothes. And clothes, if they're the wrong kind, can give you bad health. They can make you real sick. It can interfere with the electrical aura or the neural connectors in your body and give you a neuroconnector disease, you know, like Parkinson's disease. Did you know that? So I'm just sharing with you what the engineer, the chief biologist, the head honcho, the creator of heaven and earth said about his product. Now, let me share a little something with you. You know, you go out and you buy a new Ford car, and when you drive out, they give you what's called the owner's handbook. It's in the jockey box, glove compartment, that little hole in the dash. There's a book in there called the owner's manual. And in the owner's manual, it tells you to put unleaded gas in that hole in the back and 30 weight oil in that hole up front in the motor and a certain type of automatic transmission fluid and so on. Now, they tell you that for good reason, because if you put the wrong fluids in the wrong holes, you could get some real bad performance out of that car. If you don't believe it, why don't you just take some 30 weight motor oil and stick 5 gallons of that in the gas tank? And take some of that unleaded gas and stick say a quarter or two of that up in the oil in your engine. Take some antifreeze and just change the automatic transmission fluid from transmission fluid to antifreeze, and then take the automatic transmission fluid and put that in the radiator. All right, now you ready? Now start your engines, and let's see how this car performs. Now, you know, when I make that kind of a comment, you people are sitting there saying, you know, Gordon, you got to be suffering from the terminal stupids to want to put 30 weight motor oil into the gas tank. That car ain't going to run for very long. And you're right. And boys and girls, when you put the wrong kinds of fuels into your stomach, your body ain't going to run as long either. And ain't going to run near as good. And you start getting some aches and pains, you know, and you don't put the right fluids in the right places. Now, your body has 32 body fluids. Did you know that? 32, count them up. Saliva, that's one. Urine's another one. Tears is another one. Blood is another one. I mean, you start adding up all these body fluids, and those fluids that are coursing around through your body over there all have jobs to do, just like that gasoline, automatic transmission fluid, motor oil, and antifreeze. And that car has to be fed a certain kind of fuel in order to make that engine run and burn cleanly. And your body works exactly the same way. And the more you get into health, you know, the better this program becomes. Pretty soon you get into practicing all 18 of these laws, and you get to practicing all of them at the same time, and all of a sudden you can just kiss disease goodbye. In fact, your body is supposed to run 25,550 days, and it has a guarantee. It has a contract guarantee, and that contract guarantee is in Mark 10, verses 28 through 30. 25,550 days with no diseases, no maladies, no arthritis, no rheumatism, no cancer, no heart disease, no AIDS. Would you believe it? All right, hang on. I got to give you a couple of warnings here so that you don't run off and tell people that you heard this anywhere than on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School or the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archive. All of these programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Normally, we're talking about iatrogenic disease. Why would you want to go to a doctor or a hospital? The answer is nobody in his right mind would, but we all do. We do when we feel bad, and we do that when we feel bad because we have broken some laws. Now, there are 18 health laws here contained in the scriptures. Take a look at number 7 here. It's law number 28, actually. It's the 7th one in line, called dead men. Did you know it's against the law to touch a dead body? Yeah, you should avoid touching dead bodies because you can get parasites and contagious diseases from them. So God told you in there, he said, don't you touch a dead body. Now, of course, somebody's going to say, well, what about the undertaker? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, that undertaker over there, he has to handle that dead body in a very careful way, and then he has to be very careful that he washes himself. He's unclean until the evening. He has to wash. He has to take a shower every day, every day, every day, every time he touches one of them dead bodies. And you can see those laws in Leviticus 19, verse 28, Leviticus 21, verse 1. I'm in the right place here. Got the dead men. And Numbers 6, verses 6 through 11, Numbers 9, verses 6 and 7, Numbers 19, verses 11 through 22. I mean, there's about, oh, hell, there must be 10, well, I'll just count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 statutes, 11 laws, 11 stories here that tell you about dead bodies and don't touch them, and how to touch them, and then what to do after you touch them, and what happens to people when they touch them, and so on. It's called dead bodies. It's the dead men statute. All right, let's take a look at another one. Disease, sickness, and plague. Number 31. So let me flip over here to number 31. 31 diseases. Diseases like bubonic plague, fever, or inflammations come under this title called diseases, sicknesses, and plagues. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll just count them up. 6, 7. 6, 7. 7 statutes. And he says, the Eternal shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until you have been consumed from off of the land, whether you go in to possess it. And the Eternal will smite you with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with extreme burning. These are symptoms of diseases. And it says here, God is going to do this to you. Why would God want to do that to you? Well, because you gave him the finger and you wouldn't practice those 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments that he gave you here in the Bible. So don't get mad at me. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to tell you that diseases, sicknesses, and plagues are a punishment that you receive for the violation of the other laws in the statutes. In other words, it's a penalty. It's just one of the many penalties in the Bible. I'm going to skip ahead here to the word P. Let's see, this is J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Let's see if I can find P here. N, M. Which is penalties. O, okay, here's offerings. Offerings. Don't want to get too far off point here. Passover, perfume, profanity, punishments. Here we go. Number 100. Number 100. Punishments. Do you know how many punishments there are in the Bible? Has anybody ever told you? 28. I think I got it right here in the list. 28. Yep, I'm right. There it is. You can be burned, stoned, hanged, scourged, excommunicated, have your hand cut off, die childless. You can have done to you that which you did to somebody else. You can be forced into marriage. You can be taken into national captivity. You can suffer the loss of your blessings. You can have fines, be forced to pay restitutions, suffer from sore sickness, disease, plague, have a swelled belly, have your eye taken out, your tooth taken out, your hand cut off, your life ended, your foot cut off. You can be burned for a burning, wound for a wound, stripe for a stripe. You can have your slaves taken away from you. You can be forced to live in a city of refuge for many years, and you can finally be cast into the lake of fire. Now, there are 28 punishments in the scripture, and these punishments occur for various and sundry crimes. I mean, you know, you take today, you know, you kill somebody, and they take you in here, and they execute you. Or you drive too fast, and they give you a fine. Or you get sued, and they make you pay restitution. You know, there's various fines and penalties that you pay. You can be put in prison. You'll notice here that God does not put anybody in prison. There's not a single case in here where anybody was ever put in prison. And that's because God doesn't believe in prisons, because he doesn't believe in penance colonies. But anyway, just to show you here, number 15, disease, go to Deuteronomy 28:60, plague, Deuteronomy 28:61, and sore sickness, Deuteronomy 28, verse 59. Those are the three right there. It says, you give me the finger, you screw me over, and here's what I'm going to do to you. I know you probably didn't hear that in Sunday school last Sunday, but then they don't teach very much in Sunday school about the Bible. Let's take a look at fat. Now, fat is over here, number 39, so we just flip over here a couple pages. There's 33, here's 35, 6, 7, here's fat, number 39. Heart disease, stroke, and degenerative diseases come from eating fat. Your McDonald's hamburger has 30% fat in it by law. They require it. Got to have it. 30% fat by law. But in Leviticus 3, verse 17, your God told you that it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all of your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Got that? A perpetual statute throughout your generations. Gosh, I don't know how long that is, but I do know this. It ain't up yet, because my generations have not expired. Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 25, the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, You speak unto the children of Israel, and you tell them, You shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dies of itself, and the fat of that which is torn of beasts. You can use it for any other use. You can make candles out of it. But you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Called excommunication. So if you see somebody eating fat, you excommunicate them. That's the penalty for it. Oh, there's one other little thing. It also causes atherosclerosis, plugs up your veins, your arteries, and then when you die at age 57 from a heart attack, because you're going to say, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. You're right. Nobody's going to tell you what to eat. You just want to eat fat, you get after it. Leprosy, number 72. Now, this leprosy over here, a lot of times, you know, people come down, they call it Hansen's disease today. And let's see, leprosy is right here. I got my little thumb tab right there. Today we call it Hansen's disease, but it covers contagious diseases, boils, lesions, herpes. Did you know that herpes comes under the biblical heading of leprosy? Now, there is a disease that we call leprosy. And, you know, your skin turns white one thing or another, but actually it covers more. When you see the word leprosy in the Bible, the King James translators, they just translated contagious diseases of all kinds. They just called it leprosy. But the Bible actually separates out boils or something different, you know, but if you're just reading in the scriptures, take a look at Leviticus 13, verse 1, through Leviticus 14, verse 57, and I'll tell you quite a little story here about this thing called leprosy. If you want to look at some more, look at Deuteronomy 24, verse 8 and 9. Take heed in the plague of leprosy that you observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. Notice priests and Levites, not medical doctors and nurses and hospital. As I commanded them, so you shall observe to do. Remember that which the Eternal your God did unto Miriam, by the way. After that, you were come forth out of Egypt. He struck her down with leprosy. She got lippy. You know, like women sometimes do, they get a little lippy. Miriam got a little lippy with Moses over there, and God gave her leprosy. All right, menstruous women, number 79. Did you know that that's a pretty toxic fluid there, that menstrual fluid? It's kind of like the seed of copulation. Well, it harbors contagious diseases, bacterial infections, and viral infections, and it needs to be disposed of properly because it's a very hazardous waste product. You know, it's like getting rid of nuclear waste. You got to treat this stuff just right. In Leviticus 15, verses 19 through 33, There's a paragraph there, and it tells you that when you're a female, and once a month you're going to have this natural, normal, everyday garden variety menstrual cycle, there's a way for you to deal with that, and it's a health law. It's a health law. So, you know, don't get real religious about it now and put your old lady out in some cabin out here in the woods, you know, for 2 weeks, and you hear all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But ladies, you need to deal with this stuff, you know, kind of like little poops, you know, you dispose of it properly. That's all. Just dispose of it properly and wash up, and I think you'll be all right. Mingled seed, number 80, the next one, mingled seed. Now, a lot of people don't see farming as being very, very health-oriented, but Leviticus 19:19 says, you shall not sow your seed with mingled seed. That's hybridization. That's genetically modified organisms, Monsanto. Don't do that. And that's because these genetically modified organisms do not have very many vitamins and minerals in them. I mean, they got some, but they don't have too many. And some experiments are being run now. We're beginning to find out some things about GMOs and hybridization that we didn't know before. And that is that they're nutritionally deficient. And when you eat this nutritionally deficient food, your body doesn't have enough of the building blocks that it needs to rebuild cells and make strong bodies 12 ways. And because of that, we get sick and we have disease. We don't feel good. And then we want to go to the doctor and he wants to give you drugs, and then you suffer from some kind of a drug misadventure, and it ain't fun, like cocaine and heroin. It gets to be real nasty, you know, like Vioxx, and kills you. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. Mingled seed statute. Then we have quarantine, number 101. Flip over here to law number 101. I have these all in alphabetical order, by the way. This is in my book called The Mosaic Law. Every once in a while I write a book. This is one of the books I wrote some years back. Quarantine, number 101. If you will practice quarantine, you can avoid infectious disease, bacterial infections, cholera, TB, and bubonic plague by practicing quarantine. And the quarantine statute is here in the Bible in Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, seven statutes on quarantine in the Bible. Moses knew about quarantine before modern medicine. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't that Moses was so smart, but God was. He was a pretty smart guy. Now, let me tell you a little story. Down in Cuba, they practice quarantine, and they've been roundly condemned by the United Nations World Health Organization because they are so rude and crude as to practice quarantine, which is scriptural. And if there's anything that we hate, it's something that comes out of the Bible. But listen to this. Fidel Castro and all those commie, pinko, fag, queer Cubans have the lowest incidence of AIDS in the world, practicing quarantine. Can you believe it? And everybody else in the world who doesn't practice quarantine have varying degrees of higher incidences of AIDS. Now, isn't that just real special? I just thought I'd rub it in a little bit because I figured that God probably knew more about quarantine than Fidel Castro, but he practices it and gets the benefits, and the rest of us over here give God the finger and suffer from it. Running issues, number 104. There's a thing here called a running issue. It's kind of like having a boil. It deals with infectious disease like infantigo, boils, HIV, and AIDS. In Leviticus 15, verses 1 through 16, I'll just read you a little bit of it here. The Eternal spoke unto Moses, and he said to Aaron, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you say unto them, when any man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean, and this shall be his uncleanness in his issue. Whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereupon he lieth that has the issue is unclean, and everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. All right, now, this is what we call, in modern times, at least when I went to school, this was called Public Health 101. When somebody has pus leaking out of his sore, you want to avoid that, like menstrual fluid and semen. That's toxic stuff. It's toxic stuff like poops. And so you need to dispose of it very carefully. And if perchance you should get some of it on you, you nurses or doctors or other people dealing with sick people, you want to wash it off and sterilize your instruments and get real cleaned up, because it's filled with bacterias and viruses and nasty little critters. Can you all follow that, boys and girls? Man, hell, you should have learned that by the time you're in the fourth grade. You know, when they were telling us, don't drink off of the same knob. You know, don't drink out of the same bottle as little Bobby over there. So when Bobby says, here, you want a drink of my Coke? No, little Bobby, I don't want to swap spit with you, and I don't want to drink out of your Coke bottle. Used to be common sense when I was a kid. Today, it's a major health problem. Okay, running issue, sanitation. Let's take a look at number 108, sanitation. I might not get all these done. Sanitation. Number 108 deals with... you shall have a place also without your camp where you go potty. Yeah, when you go potty, it deals with sanitation. And if you will bury your poops, you can prevent contagious diseases like smallpox, AIDS, HIV, infectious diseases, and bacterial infections. Sex, incest, and sodomy, numbers 108 and 110. And well, I'll just tell you this. Sodomites die from age 39 to 45. That's their average lifespan. You should avoid sodomy because they get things like AIDS, gonorrheal infections, syphilis, hepatitis, and other sexually transmitted diseases. And that's what happens when you practice incest, and you practice other sexual practices prohibited in the scripture. Put another way, there's only one lady that you should be having sex with, and that's called your wife, and there's only one boy you should be messing around with, ladies, and that's your husband. And anything more than that now just asks for sexually transmitted diseases. And by the way, here in America, 25% of our teenagers now have sexually transmitted diseases. 25%. Now, there's a little story over here, number 130, about wine and strong drink. I know you religious people out there are just dead set against booze, but I wanted to share with you wine and strong drink. God tells you that this wine is kind of good for you. It really is. And there's quite a few scriptures that deal with this thing called wine. Now, I tell you, you don't want to be a drunken sot. You don't want to be an alcoholic. But you want to drink in moderation. And you can drink strong drink. Take a look at Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. Talks about strong drink. That's booze, brother! But don't go overboard on it. You know, just tuck that one away in your heart. You don't want to go nuts on it. Over in the New Testament, and if I got that one in here, I don't. That's over in Timothy, I think it is, where Paul is talking to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, you ought to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And if you've been paying attention now, we've noticed that the French and the Italians have very little heart disease. Isn't that something special? They drink a lot of wine, and they have very little heart disease. And so we got to figuring it out, and there's this chemical in wine that kind of melts the plaque out of your arteries. It's kind of like chelation therapy. Now, I don't know about Muscatel and Thunderbird. You know, we used to call it Muscadoodle and Thunderbird. I don't know if that's as good a wine as the French drink and the Italians, but when I was a kid, all the Italians and the Portuguese down in the Eel River Valley, they would get 2 tons of grapes and make their own wine. Winemaking was quite a little thing. And, of course, they'd have 150, 200 gallons of wine. That's about what you get Well, maybe they weren't 55-gallon barrels. I'll take that back. Maybe they were 30-gallon barrels, and they get three or four of those barrels. I don't really remember how many gallons in each barrel. I kind of doubt that they were 55-gallon barrels. But anyway, they'd make wine, and then every meal, they would drink a glass of wine, you know, lunch and dinner. So, you know, Frank Roach is sitting there. He's drinking about, you know, a water glass, 8 ounces of wine for lunch, and then about 8 ounces of wine for dinner. And he got along pretty well. And those old guys, they would collect their 70 years or 80 years. And I kind of suspect that the French and the Italians, who are a little, you know, little better health and a little longer lived than we Americans are, I think probably the wine helps them. So there's a little story on wine and strong drink. Now, that's 18 health laws. I just kind of scratched the surface to share with you some of these factoids that maybe you'd never heard before. But in the Bible, there are 18 health laws. And if you practice those 18 health laws, you're entitled under the terms of a contract negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai to 70 years of life, 70 years. Now, when you multiply that times 365 days in a year, it comes out to 25,550 days. And then God says, if you practice my law, now there's 759 statutes in this law, which are organized into 133 titles or subjects, which is less than the traffic code of your state, which has over 2,000 statutes. Did you know that? 2,000 statutes in your traffic code. And he's just got 759. So don't sit there and say, hey, I can't remember 759, because there's really only 133 subjects. And if you can practice the traffic law of your state, and if you're a licensed driver, you can practice the law of God. Yeah, you really can. And if you do that, you can live for 70 years and you won't have any disease. None. Zero. Zilch. Zip. Guaranteed. By God himself. So there you are. So if you've got pains and you're suffering and you're sick, it's because you're violating one or more of these 18 health laws. How's that? All right, I got it all in. I'm out of time. You always run out of time when you're having fun and getting wound up. So let me give you a final reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, just go to our website, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in public interest. Time's up. I can leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.